To meet you.
The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rood, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move to the eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills will be referred as indicated and given their first reading. The ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. This will be adopted as one motion, one author motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate resolution number 53 will be referred to the Rules Committee. Senator Bach on Senate File 1450.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 1450 be withdrawn from the Committee on Rules Administration and that the report from the Committee on Judiciary shown in the Journal on April 2, 2013 be adopted, that recommendation being that the bill be amended, and with so amended, the bill pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Senator Bach, some explanation.
Madam Chair, this bill was incorrectly marked as a late bill. There was a thought that the House Companion did not meet the deadline, so that's why the committee report that it should have went to Finance, the bill was redirected to Rules. Turns out that the bill did meet the committee deadline in the House. It's on second reading on the 20th of March. So this is just redirecting the bill as the committee had recommended, recognizing it was not a late bill as indicated.
On the Bach motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration.
And those bills are on the committee, on the members' desks.
Madam President, the list of four bills is on members' desks.
Okay, then we move to the first bill on special orders, number 67, Senate File 716, Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in support of Senate File 716, be recommended to pass. Madam President, Senate File 716 is with regard to a transmission line. This is a very specific transmission line located in the western part of Plymouth. The story with regard to this proposed transmission line is that as we were door knocking this past summer, I knocked on a door and some neighbor came, you know, to greet me and said, well, really the only thing on my mind is the fact that in my backyard, they are going to take that wooden pole out and put a 115K voltage power line, metal, right, you know, as clear as you can see through that window, and they invited me in. Well, this story was repeated and repeated and repeated. Every single door I knocked on, these people were devastated about the potential of this proposed transmission line project. So this bill essentially does two things. It directs the Public Utilities Commission to issue a certificate of need. Current law states that a certificate of need is required for a route that is more than 10 miles long. This route has not yet been decided, but in fact it could be 8 miles, it could be more than 10 miles. So this bill states that for this project there must be a certificate of need. In addition, this bill states that if there is an alternative means means to solving this distribution problem that they should, in fact, use this alternative means. And in this particular case, there's been an alternative distribution solution that has been identified. This distribution solution would be the presence of some underground feeder lines that could address this very same situation. So, Madam President, we're going to be seeing these kinds of cases all over the state, whereby Xcel or other power companies have identified proposed routes where the distribution and the transmission output is insufficient to the demand. And so they're going to be making these decisions. And I think that we will want to consider in the future that when these lines are going to go through high-density areas that, in fact, whether they're 3 miles or 10 miles, that we should take the time to do the certificate of need as the law currently requires for over 10 miles. So I wasn't prepared, obviously, to address this on a statewide issue. Therefore, this bill is tightly worded so that we're just dealing with, in this case, in this situation, we are requiring that these measures be sought. And I do have an amendment, Madam President. I would like to put forward the A1 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Bonoff moves to amend Senate file number 716 as follows. Page 1, line 16, after the period, insert.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. I have gotten some concerns expressed to me with regard to making sure that as the power companies look at this issue and the PUC considers this issue, that things like being cost-effective are considered. And so, in fact, if you look at the statutes, it tells us, the original statute, that that consideration must include, without limitation, cost-effectiveness, energy conservation, and the protection or enhancement of environmental quality. This is currently in our statutes, but we just wanted to make it crystal clear, members, that we were not asking, with the introduction of this bill, to go to not do these things, that in fact we're directing Xcel and the PUC to use existing law as they make their determination. So this bill just clarifies that we are not skirting those important issues.
Is there any discussion on the A1 amendment? Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A1 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Is Senator Bonoff?
That's it, Madam Chair. Right. I stand for questions.
Is there any discussion on Senate File 716? Senator Osmek.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in support of this bill. I am an author on it. This also impacts the city of Medina, which also is part of the transmission area. And I'm proud to support this because it does impact my residents. Will the author yield for a brief moment?
Will Senator Bonoff yield? Senator Bonoff will yield. Senator Osmek.
Senator Bonoff, you actually beat me to the punch because the one question I had for you is that this is somewhat of a piecemeal approach that I think in the density of suburban areas, we're going to see this more and more, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I would ask the question, would you be interested in working with me on perhaps a more global solution during the interim? Obviously, we can't do it in this session, but a more global solution for the suburban areas so that we can have this type of legislation apply more broadly to the state.
Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, Senator Osmek, I would be happy to, because this really has been an eye-opening experience for me, and I'm present to what could this be like for, you know, communities all over our region when they're going to find themselves in the situation and not know where to turn and really how to ask the proper questions and what the right questions are to ask. It's very scary at the thought of what this means to property values, to health, and so making sure that we do have a uniform procedure to address certificate of need issues and the ramifications on high density areas is very important, and I welcome the opportunity to work with you. And also, I know, Senator Limmer, this touches your community as well, and so I appreciate the support of my colleagues.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Bonoff yield?
Senator Bonoff, will you yield? Senator Bonoff will yield. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Bonoff, in your presentation, you mentioned certificate of need. In committee or prior to, were there costs mentioned as far as from the department or from the company that's going to be implementing these certificate of needs?
Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, this is ordinary course of business for Xcel and the PUC. They did not identify there would be a cost. The only identified cost was there was a cost identified of $12,000 because in the bill online, let's see, it's the clear and convincing line. Oh, on line 1.15, it says, the certificate of need may be approved only if the commission finds by clear and convincing evidence that there is no feasible. They hadn't used that phrase before, so they thought it would take more due diligence to do their analysis. So they, when we asked for a fiscal note, they identified $12,000. But what I'm told is that those things, and again, this is just my understanding, get charged back to the power company. We are not carrying a cost in our state budget for this.
Is there any other discussion? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Bonoff, I want to thank you for creating this bill. It's a bipartisan bill. I suppose it represents more of the greater Hennepin County area. And I want to thank you for doing this. This has been an issue that has kind of challenged us, at least in the Maple Grove and further to the north west area of Hennepin County. As development continues to grow, they wrap around these old easement lines, and the old easement lines demanding more power, the power companies think that they can come along and just add on more and more carrying capacity, but that's running in conflict with what the neighborhoods feel is safe or, and in many cases, unsightly. And so I want to thank you for doing this. I've had to wrestle with this issue before, and I think we have, I want to compliment you for working with all of the parties on this particular bill. I know that some of them, especially the power companies, some of them are leery, but at the same time, you've created the balance to make a good law work. Thank you.
Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, just in summary, I do want to acknowledge Xcel Energy in particular for, and the PUC both, for their willingness to work with me. As Senator Limmer said, this wasn't easy for them, and they have been very supportive.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 716 its third reading.
Senate File Number 716, a bill for an act relating to energy, regulating the assessment of need, and routing of certain transmission lines.
Is there any further discussion? The Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 61 in favor, 0 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill is number 5 under general orders, Senate File 166, Senator Wicklin.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in support of Senate File 166 and recommend it to pass. Senate File 166 is a technical compliance bill relating to the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board. The bill adds clarifying language to legislation passed in the 2012 housekeeping bill relating to Minnesota Statute Number 144E. The bill also adds language to comply with federal law, which relates to new National Highway Transportation and Safety Administration standards. Four sections of the bill which include changes are Section 1, which adds the new certification level to ambulance staffing, which is the advanced EMT level. Section 2 allows the board to accept inspection files electronically. Sections 3 and 4 clarify and align the education program requirements with the new standards. And
just a minute, Senator Wicklin. Could we keep the noise down, please? Members can't hear. Senator Wicklin.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam President. Section 5 requires that the programs teaching the advanced EMT courses to be accredited by the Commission of Accreditation of Allied Health Education Programs. So in summary, it's a bill to add some language that wasn't included last year and should have been, and then also to reflect new national federal standards that need to be included. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, the secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 166, a bill for an act relating to emergency medical services, modifying certain provisions to include advanced emergency medical technicians, etc.
The secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on general orders is number 16 on general orders, Senate File 319, Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate File 319 deals with the eligibility for the reciprocity examination based on military experience. Current law does not allow active members of the military to take the peace officer standards and training examination if they wish to become a law enforcement in a non-military agency. This bill simply changes that to allow active servicemen and women to be able to take this test. It's been supported by the Post Board. We worked with them on this bill. It's non-controversial. It had bipartisan support on the Judiciary Committee, and I had some members that were not able to be on the co-authors come to me and ask me why, if they could add on. So it does have a lot of support from our members. I hope you can support it as well. It basically just opens the door for members of the active active duty military to take this test and be open the door to become a peace officer, a law enforcement officer in a non-military agency. Doesn't guarantee that, so this they would still have to go through certain qualifications that would be also applicable to folks that are honorably discharged, and it still requires that the D-214, the honorable discharge papers, to be submitted before they do take on the role as a peace officer in a non-military agency. With that, I stand for questions, and I hope you can support this bill. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Is there any discussion? Senator Anderson.
Madam President, would the author yield?
Senator Franson will yield. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Franson, if individual who's on active duty status takes this and meets the requirements, I'm gathering there's some type of a fee that's going to be paid. Will they then, once they've met the requirements, have to, or have been dishonorably or honorably discharged, will they have to pay another fee before taking on their duties?
Senator Franson.
Madam President, Senator, I believe they will just have to go through the normal procedures that you would and intervene for a position with the police officers and so forth. So I don't believe that requires another fee, just the one you would take for the test itself.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Bonoff, Senator Franson, would she yield?
Senator Franson will yield. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Franson, was there any discussion of that in committee as far as the fee that they would have to pay or any for the examination or for re-examination costs?
Senator Franson.
Madam President, Senator, not that I recall, it wasn't an issue because they're expected to be to pay a fee to take the test, to cover the cost of the test, just like anybody else. So it wouldn't make a change on who pays the fees or if there's a double fee. It just remains the same and equalizes for active and non-active duty members.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author yield?
Senator Franson will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Franson, one issue that was not discussed during the time in the Judiciary Committee was whether or not this referred to those in reserve military status or National Guard. Would they also be included? Keep in mind that those individuals work not as an active duty, full-time military personnel. They're called upon at times to deliver service. Have you differentiated between full-time military versus reserve or National Guard?
Senator Franson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Limmer, I don't believe there was discussion on regarding that, but I can tell you that you will need your papers, your honorably discharged papers, to be able to take on a job as a police officer in non-military duty. So it doesn't make a distinction whether you're active or non or partial or full-time. You would still have to completely move on and get your D-214 papers, which would require you to be not partial or not active, completely inactive.
Senator Limmer.
Madam President, thank you. Senator Franson, one other question. In Minnesota, we require our law enforcement personnel to have at least a two-year degree. I think it's in law enforcement or criminal justice studies of some sort. And in any way, does this qualification that you're introducing now, would that nullify the need to have college credits in order to be a licensed police officer in the state of Minnesota?
Senator Franson.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, the meaning of relevant military experience means 5 years of active service experience in a military, law enforcement, occupational specialty, 3 years of active service experience in a military, law enforcement, occupational specialty, and completion of a two-year or more degree from a regionally accredited post-secondary education institution, or a 5 years cumulative experience as a full-time peace officer in another state combined with active service experience in a military law enforcement occupational specialty, meaning that these are the requirements that are still in place for those who are honorably discharged, and it would make a difference with this bill to change any of that.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Franzen yield for a question?
Will Senator Franzen yield? Senator Franzen will yield. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Franzen, thank you for that answer. That cleared up an awful lot. That a question that I had. Could you tell me, I see you have the Peace Officer Standard Training Board supporting this. Has the chiefs of the state of Minnesota and the sheriffs weighed in on this particular bill?
Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Ingebrigtsen, I believe there was conversations. They didn't testify, but they were all okay with this and expressed through the post board their support. Actually, this is something, this is a type of experience that we want to have here in the state of Minnesota. People who come from the military forces that can bring that experience into the non-military arena and serve in our, as peace officers and as police officers in our state. So they actually embrace the idea that they would have such pool of candidates that they have access to.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that question.
Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give the bill, Senate File 319, its third reading.
Senate File Number 319, a bill for an act relating to military affairs, allowing active duty service members to take a peace officer reciprocity examination.
The Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill is number 33 on general orders, Senate File 521, Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate File 521 is a bill related to the 1994 Xcel Energy biomass mandate, and it's in relation to Laurentian Energy, which is an authority that was created for the cities of Hibbing and Virginia to convert their coal-fired power plants. What this bill basically does is it puts Laurentian Energy Authority in line with the other two plants that helped Xcel get their biomass mandate and allows them to have negotiate a fuel adjustment clause, just as the other two plants and the other two projects in the state of Minnesota did. And Xcel Energy did not oppose this in the committee, and I would appreciate your support.
Is there any discussion? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, this did come through Senator Marty's committee, and we did have a good discussion about it, and it is something that probably does need to be adjusted, the fuel adjustment, because back when this was created, this was one of the three biomass mandates that put in statute their price. So they do need to make this adjustment. But I do want to make sure that everybody understands in this chamber that biomass is the number two most expensive mandate we have. And unfortunately, it's been very tough for Xcel and for our energy companies to meet this mandate because it's biomass is just not working. The most expensive mandate coming down the pipeline is solar. So right now, solar is going to be the average cost of biomass to Xcel Energy is just short of 16 cents per kilowatt, or $160 per megawatt. Wind, fortunately, has come down in price, and now it's $40 per megawatt. We have made that work. But solar, and mark my words, members, this is going to be a very expensive energy year if we continue on this path. So even though I will be supporting this bill, I want to make sure everybody understands that the pile-on affects these mandates that have been put in statute do have consequences going forward.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Tomasoni yield?
Senator Tomasoni, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Gazelka.
Senator Tomasoni, so is it true that the costs that we end up having to pay for this are more than we originally projected, that it didn't turn out exactly as we intended?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Gazelka, the community's invested about $90 million, and the negotiated contract with Xcel is the only one that didn't have a fuel adjustment clause in it when in regards to their biomass contract. So it was anticipated that this would end up happening because it was done so with the other two plants, and we knew it was going to happen with this one. The difference is that instead of having the fuel adjustment clause in the ability to negotiate the contract with Xcel, this particular project had to keep coming back to the legislature to get it changed. So we knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of how we do it, and this is a way of averting having to come back to the legislature every time they need to adjust the fuel adjustment.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Tomasoni yield one more time?
Senator Tomasoni will yield. Senator Gazelka.
Senator Tomasoni, are you saying that from the beginning the cost was going to be more than what they were projecting, or at least the cost was more than they projected?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, what was anticipated in the biomass mandate was that there would be three projects. All three projects were going to have a fuel adjustment clause. In this particular project, there wasn't a fuel adjustment clause, whereas in the other two there were. And what has happened, instead of the Laurentian Energy being able to negotiate directly with Xcel as a result of the no fuel adjustment clause, they've had to come back to the legislature two or three times in order to adjust their costs. And so the issue becomes this project being treated exactly like the other two and allowing them to have a fuel adjustment clause so that they can negotiate directly with Xcel and not have to come through the legislature every time.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I can see why we need to do this. I think I tentatively will support it, but I think we need to make sure we're looking at the underlying issues related to this. The average retail rate for electricity in Minnesota is 90 megawatts per hour. The actual cost of the three plants he's talking about, the actual cost instead of 90 is 160. And so in the end, we're passing that cost on to the consumers. And so as we look at other bills related to renewable energies, we have to be very, very careful that the amount we think it's going to cost could very well be much more than we anticipated.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. This is the first time that I've seen this bill, and I just read through the summary of it very briefly, but I think that the other aspect of the bill that has not yet been mentioned is the wood products industry in northern Minnesota. And I'm sure that Senator Tomasoni will correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the things that northeastern Minnesota has in the way of employment and job opportunities is the wood products industry and timber and logging. And this bill seems to me that it would, to a certain degree, assist the wood products industry in northern Minnesota, and for that reason, you know, we are dealing with a renewable resource, and it seems to me to be appropriate, and I will be supporting this bill. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Tomasoni yield?
Senator Tomasoni, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Tomasoni, I think Senator Rosen mentioned the statute's been changed 14 times. Do you think you've got it to the point where you're done with this now so we can have some certainty for the ratepayers?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Benson, this is what we've been seeking all along, and did not want to have to keep coming back, but we kept having problems with getting it done. So this will get it done, and we won't have to worry about it anymore. And Madam President, I want to mention also that there was the loggers were just mentioned. The investment itself actually kept two plants from shutting down that were coal-based plants. And 157 people now work at these facilities. And there's 47 loggers that provide biomass fuel instead of importing coal from Wyoming. So we have 387 commercial customers, 2,528 residential customers in Hibbing and Chisholm. And so it's been a very good project that's working out very well. And it's just a matter of making sure that they're able to pay for it, and there's a 14-year contract involved here, and so there's a $90 million local investment. I think I heard $160 talked about here, and I think if I'm not mistaken, the number in the bill is $109 of the fuel adjustment clause. So, Senator Benson, the issue is that we get it done now, and we'll get it done finally forever.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President, and I'm very glad to hear this. Members, this is what happens when you micromanage energy policy, put power purchase agreements and prices in statute, make commitments to specific entities instead of creating certainty for utilities. Our energy policy in this body and in this state should be focused on reliable and reasonably priced energies because consumers pay more when we mess with electric rates. This is a bad precedent for the energy policy that's coming down the pike this session. And so let's pay attention to the ultimate people who pay for this, the ratepayers of this state, our consumers, our families, our businesses. They don't need more pressure from bad energy policy.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, members, I rise in support of this bill, and I just want to remind members that fuel adjustment clauses are nothing new in the energy arena. In fact, we have fuel adjustment clauses for the more traditional sources of energy, coal, natural gas, and others. And we also, of course, see that the utilities come in all the time for rate adjustments for all kinds of different reasons. The only error, if you will, that was made in this particular deal is it was one of the very first deals that was out of the gates. And every deal that has been cut since then on biomass and some of the others has that fuel adjustment clause. And so they're simply coming back in to create the same standard that almost every other source gets to enjoy. This is, Xcel did not oppose this bill, and this is a part of fulfilling the renewable energy standard. And one of the things we also have to pay attention to is the diversity of power sources so that we're not overly exposed to one or the other or the other. We're never going to have the one silver bullet form of energy, and we don't desire that. And this, Senator Tomasoni said, is a significant facility up in his neck of the woods. It provides important energy and important part of their economy.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Tomasoni please yield?
Senator Tomasoni, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Rosen.
Senator Tomasoni, I apologize. I probably should have asked this in committee, but and you did mention here on the floor that this was brought, you tried at least two or three times to make this adjustment. Why has this not been done before? I realize this being one of the first contracts that was in statute that there was a specific, I guess, vendor, I suppose, that will be working with the energy company. But why were you unsuccessful with getting this changed in the past?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Rosen, I guess I don't know the answer to that because it just makes good sense to have done it quite a while ago because, as Senator Dibble stated and as I stated earlier, the other two biomass plants that helped Xcel achieve their biomass mandate as a result of the 1994 Prairie Island legislation both had fuel adjustment clauses in them, and for some reason, apparently, this particular project was determined to have a certain price that was set. But I will tell you that if you listen to any of the testimony that was done during any one of these eventual revisions of the project, that we specifically said that a fuel adjustment clause is necessary in order for this project to be viable, and we would be back again and again until we actually get it right. And I think we got it right this time, Senator Rosen.
Senator Rosen. Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, Senator Thomasoni. I do appreciate that. And fortunately, the biomass mandate was only 115 megawatts back in 1994, barely making that. But the solar energy right now, I want to again say it's between $120 per megawatt for large-scale solar developments and at least $200 per megawatt for rooftop solar panels. And we have been able to get the wind down to about $40 per megawatts. But let us be very careful, members in this chamber, about how we push our mandates forward and what they are going to do to our businesses or to our ratepayers in the state.
Is there any other discussion? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author yield?
Senator Thomasoni will yield. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Thomasoni, we know that there's going to be some extra price or extra costs to this bill. What was the discussion in committee as to how much more it's going to add to the ratepayers in your area?
Senator Thomasoni.
Madam President, the bill specifically says that it can only go up to $109. It's at $104 right now for this, and so it is a very minuscule part of Xcel's production, as it's 35 megawatts out of 9,100 megawatts, and so that's the maximum it can go to.
Senator Anderson. Okay. Is there any other discussion? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President, and I don't have any questions, but members, I was here in 2007 when the energy mandates came down, and there were questions at that time what the ratepayers were going to be paying for the alternative energy that was being forced upon the coal-burning industry in this state, any importation of the coal-burning electricity, which is a huge part of our grid. And at that time, once again, we weren't able to, or nobody was able to tell us what the ratepayers were going to experience. And I, and along with two other senators in this body, voted against that mandate. And I would caution folks moving forward, I believe Senator Benson hit it right on the head, the uncertainty of what's going to come of more of this mandate. And now we're hearing in the legislature of another addition onto the current 25% that's going to be coming forward through solar energy in the state of Minnesota. I'm not sure what the cost of the ratepayers is going to go up with that mandate, but again, it's a mandate, folks, that we're doing in Minnesota, that a lot of states, in fact, I don't know if any other states are as high as Minnesota. We were the so-called leader at that time of mandating our energy facility, coal-burning facilities, to this alternative energy. So I will be voting against this, as well as any other solar opportunities that come forward, at least what I hear of so far. And we should move very cautiously when it comes to energy. There are other means of energy that's not even being considered, such as nuclear. We've had that discussion on this floor. I think that can be brought up again, the cleanest burning fuel there is, but there never seems to be any movement in that direction. So, members, new ratepayers are gonna see an additional cost here. The uncertainty is definitely there, but the power companies aren't going to absorb the cost. You and I and the people that put us here are going to absorb that cost, so move cautiously.
Is there any other discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 521, a bill for an act relating to energy, regulating a biomass mandate project.
The Secretary will take the roll. all senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 44 in favor, 17 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. We move now to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I just want to call to your attention, if you haven't seen it already this week, you should have gotten the summary of topics for the Legislative Audit Commission. Would strongly encourage you to take a couple minutes and fill that survey out on both the large topics and the small topics. The Audit Selection Committee is going to meet on the 11th and the full commission shortly thereafter to ratify that. So we really do count on your input. Fill those out. You can get them back to me, and I'll turn them in or send them directly to the legislative auditor. Thank you.
Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senators Sieben, Dahl, Metzen, Brown, all day. Senator Champion from 11 to 11:30. Senator Sharon from 11 to 11:30. Senator Cohen from 11:45 until the end of session. Senator Stump from 11:45 until the end of session. Are there any other announcements?
Madam President.
Senator Wieger.
Madam President, members, the E-12 Finance Division will meet in room 112 immediately following session.
Are there any other announcements? Senator Tomassoni.
Madam President, the Economic Development, Environment, and Ag Division will meet immediately in room 107. We have about 25 bills up, and so members, if you could get there on time so we can get through it today and not have to take this out to midnight tonight.
Senator Latz.
Members, the Judiciary Finance Division will meet immediately following session. We do not have 25 bills up, but we'd like to get what we have done promptly, so thank you.
Any other announcements? Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that the Senate do now adjourn until Monday, April 8th, 11 a.m.
All those in favor of the motion, the Senate would adjourn until Monday at 11 a.m., say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.